You're listening to Dynamo's Dozen. Now let's welcome your host, Dean Dynamo Kelly.
Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. This is Dynamo's Dozen.
Welcome back to the latest Dynamo's Dozen with myself, of course, Dara Marr. I am back after a two-week hiatus. Ian has been doing some stellar work on the last two podcasts. You should definitely check out if you haven't already. Chatting to NWA's newest women's champion, Thunder Rosa. And then, of course, speaking to the legend, Tim Storm, Mama Storm's little baby boy. So Ian, you've done some great work over the last 2 weeks. How do you think those interviews went?
Awesome. Great feedback. Also, welcome back, I might add.
Thank you.
Always good to have you back. An integral part of the show. Mama Storm's not so little big baby boy. Yeah, big guy. Great guy. Just two really lovely people, really great people, driven people as well. I like to always talk to driven people because you are what your surroundings make you, you know. And I'm kind of blessed actually that gaining two good relationships there as well, on top of, you know, two really good interviews. So, hope the people enjoyed it. Hope all the guys and gals out there in Dynamo's Dozen Land enjoyed the show, because I certainly had fun interviewing it. And I think really you've got to, you know, in the 90 odd episodes that Dynamo's Dozen has had, I think they're probably two of the most emotional and raw interviews in very different ways that we've ever had on the show, actually. That's kind of a lot of the feedback I've been getting. I had one guy, shout out to regular listener and friend of the show and personal friend, Dozer Joe Doignan. He got very emotional on the treadmill or whatever part of his workout he was doing when he heard Thunder Rosa getting quite emotional during the show. So it's amazing how, you know, these interviews can kind of touch people, and how these interviews can touch the people that you're actually talking to as well. So it was really good, actually, being able to
it's funny that you say that there about how people are getting emotional on the treadmill. Listen to what I was actually, for that Thunder Rosa interview, and actually for the Tim Storm interview, I was out walking the dog. And then it was kind of caught me by surprise when she actually did become so emotional. Well, a surprise and then also not a surprise. Like, you could hear how she talked about it, how much it meant to her to be NWA's women's champion. Yeah. You know, this, like, how hard that she's worked to get to this point. And then, of course, like, Tim Storm's just stories. I'm gonna have to get you to get back in contact with him for me, because he used to play some college football, so I'm gonna have to get some tips from him now for my own game this coming season.
Oh yeah. We got your season coming up. Mention a little bit about how your preparation's going. I'm seeing you drinking some of the water there. I'm in the old green stuff.
So, green stuff.
Yeah, the old, you know, the stuff that makes your hair stand on the back of your neck, the old energy drinks. So
Well, our preparations are going well. We are about 4 weeks, just over 4 weeks away from our first game. Looking forward to it. I've been kind of sort of taking a backward step in the gym this week, unfortunately, carrying a few knocks from training, so I can't do a lot. So this week especially has been a lot of focus on cardio and legs, so it's not been the funnest week of workouts in my life I'll ever have, but things are going well. I can't wait for the new season to start. I can't wait to go out and hit someone. That's the one thing that I want to do more. It's all, like, it's all right doing training, but you know, you just can't beat, and from yourself, you like, you've gone training, like wrestling training before as well, you just can't beat show day or match day. The build up, everything to do with the match, I just love. I savor all that. I love it so much. But yeah, I can't wait. I think it's March the... put me on the spot here. It's March the 15th is our first game of the season. We're playing away in Mead. And probably that's going to be the team that we are going to be up against. One of two teams that are going to fight us for top spot in this league. So, you know, it's going to be important to get a good start, get a win under our belts at the very first attempt, so we can go on and hopefully compete to be league champions this year.
Good man, that sounds good. That sounds really good. And
well, also, I have to make sure when we have home games, you're going to have to come down and see them.
Oh, hell
See them, those games in the flesh.
I'll be there, my man. You know, I can do some for you if you want. I mean, I'm still pretty quick. So I'm pretty sure if you need a...
there you go.
If you need a runner, you know, that I can be... I was going to say, I only watched that documentary, The Killer Inside. So I was going to say I can be your Aaron Hernandez. I can't really say that because...
yeah, don't be that. Don't be that.
Or you can be that player, though, on the pitch.
That player, yeah.
Yeah,
that player.
Just that player, that position. I can be him.
Yeah. You come on, and if you can have that sort of influence on our team like he did, you know, we'll be having a clean sweep of that league. We'd be running away with it.
Yeah, I think I'll stick to the old age-old tried and tested position of mine in the old football days as striker. It's much better. I prefer kicks on the ankles will do me nicely. Knocks to the head, I'll leave to the ring. Not that I'm involved in the ring anymore, but you know what I mean. Although we know we had a fall yesterday. People have probably seen it on social media. I had a good fall yesterday. Gonna be nice. So give a bit of context to my American and Canadian and worldwide viewers. All you guys over in those hot countries in Europe, go fuck yourselves because you don't get this kind of this treatment that we do. Global warming isn't a thing, Miss Thunberg. Well, especially not in Ireland. And if it is, did you not get the memo to please send some our way? We would greatly appreciate it. P.S. Ian the Dynamo Kelly. So I came out of my house yesterday morning at like, say, 6:30 a.m. I want to say, yeah, it was around that time. And you know the little kind of, you've got your footpath and then the little groove that goes down just to allow your car nice and easy access into the driveway. So I'm walking there, and next of all, I've got my hands in my pocket, not an Alanis Morissette song, I've got two hands in my pocket, and neither was smoking a cigarette. I'm listening to listen to a new podcast, which I'll get you all onto later, actually. And next of all, my left foot decides to react with the ice underneath it. And I went down, man. I took a big ass bump. My left kind of shoulder blade then went onto the actual curbed part where there's a big gap. And the back of my head absolutely smacked the curb. Luckily, the headgear that I had on wasn't quite American football headgear. So I had to deal with a bit of a smack. It was I had my beanie cap on, and then I had my hood over the cap. And then I had a big kind of duffel jacket kind of over the hoodie then. So I think the kind of the head where I was wearing didn't do much for the brain, but it did a lot for the laceration part. But I kind of got up, you know, pretty much instantly thinking, oh, somebody might have seen me there. I better get up. Because first thing you do when you have a small like that is you don't want to be that guy on RTE News or on any news that's seen falling on his ass. So it was just a quick reaction. But I literally about 2 minutes later, I actually puked, started to vomit at the corner of the street. And, you know, I saw those little, those special little stars that you see. Just millions and millions of little silver stars. And straight away,
the Tweety Birds.
Yeah, yeah. Straight away, I kept residing to where I was going. Proceeded to go to my route rather than turn back around and go to my house. And, you know, cut the rest of the day off and realize that I had concussion. But it was only maybe about 2 hours later that I actually realized I had concussion. You know, because I've had a couple before. And but yeah, that was pretty fun. That was my day yesterday. But I'm okay. I'm still here speaking freely and, you know, it was all good. So, yeah, man, you need a linebacker? I'm your man. It's okay. It's this big hard moon head that I have seems to be sometimes uncrackable. But I would dare say that I don't really want to try and see if it happens again. If it happens again, I don't want to see if it's crackable.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay. I'm glad that you're okay. I'm sure everyone is glad that you're okay now.
It would have been funny being on video, it would have been funny.
Yeah,
because
I say so.
The thing about it is,
would have been like your man on RTE News.
Yeah, I made it look better, though, because, you know, took it like a champ. The thing about it is,
I think, I was going to say you know how to bump, but you got a concussion from it, so you obviously didn't bump it well.
Well, the funny thing is, you're like the umpteenth person to say that to me. Shouldn't you have known that? Did you tuck the chin in? And I was like, listen, dude, I was like, this was a split second thing. I was like, my hands were in my pocket. The only thing that I did do that I think was a natural reaction of falling was, and this was, you know, all joking aside, I think it probably saved, you know, it saved maybe not my life. I don't want to be too extreme, but it possibly could have saved my life. Was because I, you know, with the way that my shoulder landed on the curb itself, it could have been my neck that landed on that, and that probably would have been fatal. The only kind of thing I did know to do was, because of the angle that I was at, was to twist my body kind of to the left so that the impact kind of went more on my shoulder or something rather than on my back. And I think that did actually quite stop it a bit, because the back of my kind of shoulder took the brunt off the, you know, onto the curb itself and stopped my neck from being the one to take the brunt of it. So it was so that's what I like to say. But unfortunately, I couldn't get the hands out quick enough out of the pocket to straighten the arms, tuck the chin in, and get that good old mat smack. I wasn't able to do that. But still a better worker than most on TV. To be able to
always,
do that at least.
You're always working. Always working, no matter what.
You got to work.
You know, I can't. Well, to be fair, there's not many people that can go one on one with a foot pat and come out the other side on top. So, you know, you put in a good effort, but unfortunately,
yeah, guys, I don't recommend that. Unfortunately,
the foot pat had to go over.
Yeah, the foot pat went over, and like the foot pat's gonna go over every time, just like that stupid kid at the mall. Has anybody seen that thing on Twitter about this guy like taking a flip off the second story of the mall over in the States? I'm pretty sure you've seen that.
I hope his $10 and a hot dog was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, as some of our listeners down south would say, praise the Lord that like he came out of it with his life. But I mean, that was a look, you know, the dude looked nervous as hell. He had no business being up there. And I mean, at the end of the day, what are you looking for out of this? Do you know what I mean? What are you really? Mm-hmm. Is it like that? Literally, that you know, 3 seconds of fame. Was it really worth that? I mean, not gonna stay on that for too long. I just noticed that pop up on my Twitter and thought, what the hell is this guy doing? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's going to be popular for a week online, and then people are going to forget about it.
Very silly, yeah. You're not going to get much bookings out of that, sir. And next time you're in the mall and you're on the second floor, just look at the offers, you know, in the window, rather than trying to be an idiot. That's all.
If you want to go down to the bottom floor, just take the lift.
Definitely, trust me, it's not worth it. I think today is you've gotten a bit of an agenda for us today, I believe.
Well, I got some news stories, and I'm gonna get your view on them. We got a few from WWE, we got a few from AEW, and we got a few from NWA. I thought I'd mix it up today.
That's cool. You know? And I know none of them, so this is good.
There we go. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then when we come back from this break, we're going to get started straight into the news.
That sounds good to me, my brother. Are you a fan of wrestling merch? Do you like to wear the latest WWE and UFC shirts? Well, if you're in Ireland, there's only one place to go for all of your wrestling and MMA needs. Wrestling Mania. That's right, Wrestling Mania, located on the top floor of St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre in the heart of Dublin's Fair City, is the only place you need to go. Wrestling Mania has everything you need, from t-shirts, hoodies, hats, wristbands, mugs, pendants, and everything in between. And if you're like me, a fan of wrestling history and memorabilia, then you never know what you may find. From action figures, huge back catalogs of books, magazines, DVDs, and all kinds of retro items. Shop for brands like WWE, Tap Out, UFC, Ring of Honor, AEW, and much, much more. And much more than that, Wrestling Mania is a family-run business and Ireland's oldest wrestling shop that has seen superstars such as Bret the Hitman Hart, Chris Jericho, Finn Balor, Becky Lynch, Dana White, and many, many more pass through its doors. So why not get down to Wrestling Mania today? You never, ever know what you may find. But get this. If you need a purchase coming up to the holiday season and can't make it to the store, don't worry. They've got you covered. Wrestling Mania will deliver directly to your doorstep. And if you can make it to the store today, Wrestling Mania will give you 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. That's right. For listening to Dynamo's Dozen, you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. What do I have to do, you say? Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. All you need to do is join the mailing list. Leave your name at dynamosdozen@gmail.com. Send me an email with your name. #wrestlingstore #dynamosdozen. That is it. And you get 20% off all purchases over 50 euro. For more information, once again, go to dynamosdozen@gmail.com to be on the mailing list, or go to Wrestling Mania Facebook page on the latest news and arrivals. Get down to Wrestling Mania today.
And you're welcome back to Dynamo's Dozen with Darren Marr and, of course, Ian, the Dynamo Kelly. Just before the break, we were just sort of having a general catch-up. But now we're going to get into some news stories, and I'm very interested to hear your opinion on these. Some might be controversial, some might not be. That's the beauty of this show. You get to give your honest opinion on what you think is going on in the world of wrestling right now.
Sounds good to me, to be honest with you. I've always got an opinion, and I'm going to stick it straight through your ear holes. So let's do it.
So we're going to start actually with AEW news.
Oh, nice.
Now, if you haven't seen AEW yet this week, just fast forward maybe about 10 minutes. because this might be a bit of a spoiler. This past week on AEW, Nyla Rose became the AEW Women's Champion, beating Riho on AEW Dynamite. But as she celebrated, Jim Ross accidentally called her King of the Mountain. And fans online definitely noticed JR slipping a tongue. Some people were kind to his slip of the tongue, saying, look, it can happen. Others didn't take that lightly view of it. So I guess two questions I got for you in this one. First of all, are you happy to see that? You may not be happy with the choice of champion, but are you happy to see that maybe they are doing something different to sort of kickstart the women's division? And secondly, do you think that Jim Ross deserved the amount of backlash he got online for a simple slip of the tongue?
So to answer your first question, I've obviously been writing this down because this is new to me. So I'm gonna take it as a knowledgeable man of how these things work, backlashes and whatnot. First of all, I'll address the first part of the question. Nyla Rose, that's the man that is now a woman. Yeah, that's the trans. She's a woman now. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, her work isn't great. Not call her her. Her work isn't great, but it's a big champion. And let's be honest, in the grand scheme of things, if she's going to be competing in the women's division, she should kill someone like Nyla Rose, Riho. That's what Jim Cornette calls her, isn't it? Riho. I'm going to call her Riho as well.
Yeah.
Because she looks like a 12-year-old school kid, let's be fair. Yeah, she should be killing that kind of
woman. Ways about the same.
Yeah, it's like Yokozuna versus Shawn Michaels type deal. You know what I mean? She should be kind of killing her every time and let the champ build back up and be a competitor again and try and find a way tactically to regain the championship, which I'm sure is where not AEW, Kenny Omega is going with this and his obsession with Japanese small girls. Is what I'll say. Schoolgirls. So basically, yeah, I mean, I think Nyla Rose is absolute dog shit in the ring, personally. That's just my own opinion. I think she's absolute dirt, but she's there for a reason, you know. Wrestling is for everybody nowadays as well. Sorry to steal another one from Jim Cornette, but it is kind of true when it comes to that kind of thing. But I think in this particular scenario, it's probably the right thing to do, because I think the women's division in AEW is particularly weak and not believable. It is very computer game-ish, you know what I mean? And I know Kenny Omega is running it, and I give Kenny Omega a lot of shit on the show, but I've also given him a lot of props in the past on the show too. So for anybody out there that's just listening to this and doesn't want to listen, because I'm slagging Kenny Omega, if that hurts your little feelings, go back and listen to other shows. If you don't want to and you just want to judge it on this, but I don't know what to tell you really. But in this particular line, I know this is Kenny Omega's deal. I think it's really suffering in comparison to the indie women's division and to the WWE's women's division. And yes, I'm still allowed to call it a women's division because they are women wrestling in a ring. So it is a women's division. Again, turn your ears away now, snowflakes, because it's a women's division. But as for Nyla Rose, yeah, I think she's sloppy.
Let's be fair. I think they turned her ears away already.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. If they're going to judge on that kind of thing, hopefully. Yeah, like Nyla Rose, as I said, there's nothing I've seen of Nyla Rose that makes her good to me. Do you know what I mean? Other than the fact that, you know, that's her thing. I'm not saying that's her thing and that's what she's been marketed as, but obviously that's been the big story behind it, you know what I mean? Like, I doubt she works enough to get great.
But is that the right thing to do with her, though? Because she is being booked like, well, her tagline is a beast. So she's being tagged like the beast, like that she is, doesn't have to move a lot. She's quite dominant in the ring, so it's probably the best way to book her at the moment until maybe she can get that level that you, that.
Probably, like I mentioned, like the Yokozuna thing in the early 90s to mid 90s. But Yokozuna could work, you know. I think it probably is the best thing to do at the moment. I don't think, and I'm gonna kind of go against my own kind of thing here in the sense that I don't believe it's necessarily a sympathy victory or anything, or like, oh, let's make a statement by having the first, you know, transgender, you know, champion or whatever it may be. I think it's a fact that, like, it's common sense. I don't think there's enough. I think Britt Baker might be the best kind of women's wrestler on their roster. Maybe. I don't know. It's, you know, that's up for other people to decide.
To be fair, we haven't seen enough of the women's division to know who their best wrestler
is.
It's just
not a great division. It's just a big bunch of, but it's definitely very, very computer game-ish. You know what I mean? It's Kenny Omega's obsession with trying to bring Japanese culture to America, and it's just not going to work unless they start bringing some realism into it. Onto the second point, to the snowflakes that want to call out Jim Ross on, as you said, a slip of the tongue. I just ask all these people, have you ever had a slip of the tongue or a thought that maybe was in your head and that maybe you probably on reflection shouldn't have said it? Yeah, because I don't think there's a human being.
Hell, we've had to re-record three times tonight because we've had slip of the tongues.
Yeah, well, tonight we haven't. Tonight we haven't. But in the past we have. Well, let me just say this, and this is absolutely no slip of the tongue from me. If you guys are actually willing to go out and badger a man, and not just a man, the greatest commentator in the history of professional wrestling, for a slip of the tongue and call her the King of the Mountain, then I say to you guys, go and bury yourself in as much snow as possible, and don't wake up until you can't feel yourself anymore. Fuck off, is what I would say to that. Seriously, because obviously JR is... And plus, hey, isn't one of the biggest stars in the world now calling herself the man? I doubt she gets offended by being called the man. I know she's not formally a man or whatever the hell, you know, that in this politically correct world that we have, but it's getting ridiculous. And guys and girls, make no mistake about it, this show will not be hiding the fact anymore that we have opinions. Because we've done this, as Dara mentioned, we've done this on a couple of occasions where we've re-recorded episodes because we don't want to, you know, offend every single person. But look, I've realized now over the course of 90 plus shows that you're going to offend someone no matter what. And I say to you, if you are literally going to nitpick on every single thing that a human being does, you're just someone that's easily offended. And you really probably should go and get yourself checked out for some sort of issue. Because, and the thing about it is, most of these people don't actually have issues. The only issue they have is that they want to look good on social media. That's it. Like that they've got the moral high ground. These sort of people. Ah, but most of them hide behind fake accounts and fake names anyway. So, listen, JR is doing a stellar job there. I think he's back in commentary. It was always going to take him a little while to get back into the swing of things, but he is well into the swing of things. it's this new indie fan generation now that don't understand pro wrestling, but they think they know pro wrestling. And I'll tell you why they think they know pro wrestling. Because they've read up the encyclopedia of inside verbiage. They call it the business. They call it, and like these fat, skinny, every size things that you know don't have an ounce of fitness in them whatsoever, calling it the business. This guy's ruining the business. You know, these are the idiots that are commentating on it, and these are the idiots that are offended by it. So I think that kind of answers your question on the JR thing. No. If it's a slip of the tongue, and I don't even if it is a slip of the tongue, that's what live TV is meant to be about. You run an angle with it then a couple of weeks later. You have Nyla Rose actually confront Jim Ross about it, which I'm sure Jim Ross, who actually knows a thing or two about the wrestling business, would be more than happy to do. I'm sure he'd even take a bump for her of some sort. You know what I mean?
Well, if they're smart, they can use this for an angle.
Of course they could. But, you know, Twitterland knows better because they call it the business. And Kenny Omega is the best. Oh, here's another one. Uncle Dave Meltzer, in particular. Go fuck yourself again, I will say. Uncle Dave Meltzer, right, the expert in professional wrestling, the expert of nothing, not even media, the expert of knowing how to fucking make money out of wrestling and call himself a media guy, decided that he basically, I don't know whether you're familiar with this, but it was recent enough. He basically said that Omega and Okada, and you know I love Okada, you know more than anyone I love Okada, and I'm not too shady about Omega either. I like some of his work, but he tried to say that what these guys did had more psychology in their matches than Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. This proves to me that Dave Meltzer is a fucking idiot, an absolute grade A fucking idiot. I called it out on Twitter. Obviously, I'm not important enough for him yet to respond. But if anyone ever gets this back to Dave Meltzer, tell him to come on and tell me I'm not a wrestling expert, because I've actually done more being out of wrestling in the ring than Dave Meltzer could even imagine if he took his little left hand off his left nut and stopped fucking ejaculating over Kenny Omega's hair. So Dave Meltzer, fuck you. There we go. That's my rant of the day. We're going to have to get a rant of the week, aren't we?
Yeah, I think, somehow, anytime I'm on with you, you seem to go on a rant. I don't know if it's me or if it's the stories I'm picking. It's something, anyway.
Are you happy with it?
We'll move on. What?
You're happy with it, though. It's good, right? It's marketable. Gotta have it.
Of course.
Yeah, gotta go.
Of course.
Gotta go. Hashtag snowflakes out. I'm going to get a t-shirt. Here's a new t-shirt. Dynamo Dozen t-shirt is going to come out. And it's going to be available in Wrestling Mania. And it's going to be called Hashtag snowflakes out with Dynamo Dozen. And the first one I make, I'm going to give to a listener. That the first listener that gets hashtag snowflakes out trending with Dynamo Dozen as part of the hashtag, I'm going to get a t-shirt made specifically for you out of my own pocket. And then we're going to hope to make more of them. I think that's a good way to go, actually.
There we go. Thinking on the spot. You've got this marketing game down. Probably better than Meltzer anyway.
Let's do it.
Like I said, we are going to move on this time.
Okay,
and,
let's go.
You talked about a certain man earlier on, the man. And this past week on Raw, the man was involved in a very interesting angle.
Yeah.
Because we got a clearer picture as to who Becky Lynch will be facing at Mania this year. Shayna Baszler made an appearance and attacked Becky after her match, cutting her in the sleeper hold. But it was what she did after the sleeper hold that has everyone talking. She took out her mouth guard, turned Becky on her belly, and then seemed to take a pound of flesh off her neck. You know, and just my question now from this point is, do you like this angle that they're setting up now for Mania?
I love it. I thought going back to a year ago when, you know, Becky, obviously I love Becky, you know that. Becky's a very good friend, super, super proud of her, and super proud that a year later she's still actually in the mix and going into her next, you know, main event at WrestleMania. With a beast, I might add. And by the way, hashtag snowflakes out. Don't take that the wrong way. I mean a beast in Shayna Baszler. She would appreciate that. That sentiment. She, dude, being a big, huge fan of the horror genre, as you know. I loved it, I gotta say. And I think when Becky had her... her beast moment last year as the man, when she got her nose smashed up, her eyes smashed up, whatever it was from, who was it that done that again? It was,
Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, yeah. She looked badass when she had the arms out wide and had the little smile. That was her kind of Stone Cold moment. Well, Stone Cold was in the sharpshooter.
Yeah.
I think Shayna had her moment there. This week on Raw with the blood just hanging down the chin. She looked like the Count, you know what I mean? It was like Bela Lugosi and yeah. Christopher Lee all in one go. It was just beautiful. I thought it was awesome. Like, no one knows the extent of Becky's injury. Did she eat her flesh? Did she just bite down so hard that there was blood all... I thought it was one of the better... it was one of the best angles I've seen on Raw in a long time, actually, in my opinion. Aside from, which I don't know whether we're going to get into this, but aside from Randy Orton finally coming back as one of the legitimate heels of the wrestling business that we all know he can be.
We'll get to that in 1 second. I just want to ask you one question, though.
Sure, ask me too if you want.
Did you? It's something that I picked up during... during Raw, after obviously this attack by Shane and Becky obviously came back out with, she had obviously the bandage on her neck, but it wasn't in the right place. Now, I think the bandage was more put there for the camera, because obviously she seemed to get bitten on the back of the neck, which the hair would cover so you wouldn't see the bandage. So obviously this bandage was put there as a more for the cameras to sort of see it on TV. Do you think... I don't know. I would just want that consistency.
It consists with the weapons that they attack each other with backstage. Like, do you ever see anyone beaten up with a good old fashioned piece of wood that you might just find from an old broken down crate at the back of the building? No. You see them with pipes that are all shiny and look like they've been tailor made for that specific spot. So it's consistent with that. So I don't think that particular angle, you know, is any different to, you know, any of the other gimmicks that they use. You know, when they're doing some sort of angle. You know, the chairs are always freshly polished as well. You go back to the 90s and you look at, like, you know, a Michaels Brett angle, or, you know, an Austin Taker angle, and the chairs look like they'd already been beaten up, that they just took one that was there. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's mm-hmm. just in line with their silly overproduction bullshit, to be honest with you. Probably Becky putting a... maybe it was to stop the blood, because it was just going to constantly stream down the back of her neck, which it would, because if you were bitten at the backside, the hair isn't going to exactly act as a sponge, is it? It's going to trickle down the back of her neck. So... maybe mm-hmm. the big bandage was there as a purpose to try and soak up some of the remaining blood that that Shayna had just caused to trickle down Becky's perfect little spine. Which it is, a good spine, because she's got
nice body. That's the only... I mean, like, it's a minute problem, but that was the only problem I had with the angle from start to finish on the show on Monday. But I wasn't going to talk about it, but Randy Orton now finally turning heel on Edge. Looks like that'll set up for a Mania match now, and he sort of... I love the fact, like, you're probably going to love it, that's fine, but I didn't for... a couple of reasons. Nothing to do with Randy. Like, the fact that Randy is heel is brilliant because he does his best work as a heel. Hands down, no debate there. I think he should stay heel forever if I had a choice.
Because he's a natural heel.
The only thing what... Exactly. I just had a problem with the whole Matt Hardy coming out to defend Edge. You know?
Well, look, yeah.
I think... You know, like, I don't need to go into the history that they've had.
Well, I was actually more talking about the initial angle between Edge and Randy Orton. I thought was
yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so sorry, continue. Like, in terms of what, because you know that's unbeknownst.
No, I just think you have Christian there. You know, he's there every week on that WWE backstage show. What's to stop him coming out on Raw? Now, maybe they're holding out and Christian's going to come out this week or something like that, or he's going to come out in a week's time or something. And Randy's going to get him in that same position, and then we'll see the return of Edge, you know, coming back and fighting off Randy and saving his best friend. Mm. I just thought that Matt was the wrong choice. I know that he's the only one there available who was still active from that period of them, the Dudley Boys, the Hardys. You know, I'm sure if they had their choice, they'd probably even get Jeff out instead. But for obvious reasons, he's not around at the moment. I just didn't like the fact that they used Matt. That's all.
Yeah, no, look, I can see your point, but it is what it is, you know. They're going to, like, it's kind of like they're trying to, it's like Randy Orton is the legend killer again without being the legend killer, because he is one, you know. But it's that same kind of character. So it's like they're playing on the same storyline where they'll have these legends come out and kind of try and reason with him. And he'll do the same to them that he's done to everyone else. Just to play on nostalgia, I guess, is what I would think. And I guarantee you that's how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's great. I mean, I think after this whole program is done, I think it's about time that we see another Randy Orton title run as that kind of heel, but as that heel. Do you know what I mean? Because I mean, it was being teased with him with Kofi, and then obviously they pulled the plug in the Kofi deal. Which I'm kind of glad they don't, to be honest with you, because I just didn't see Kofi as a world champ. I don't care how controversial that is. Not all of our favorites can be world champion for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan was, because he had something really, really super special. Super special connection with the audience, you know what I mean? I think Kofi did because people had the sympathetic vote with him. He was there 11 years, blah, blah, blah. Well, Taker's been there about 100 years, and he hasn't had a title run in a long time. So, you know, don't see them putting the belt on him, and he looks more legit than anybody. So I think going off on a tangent, and I'm segueing, but I guess what I'm trying to say, and I do digress, I think Randy Orton can definitely be a world champ again soon, and I think they can make him a legitimate contender to, you know, the possible baby faces that they have coming forth. And I think he's a lot more entertaining than a Seth Rollins. A lot more entertaining than, you know, some of these guys that they're building up to be the next guy. And I mean, he looks a fucking million bucks still. You know, he looks like he looks a million bucks. So I think Randy Orton should be the one. I've always said it. I think Randy Orton should be the one to break the record, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Of world title wins. Because he's not far behind.
How many reigns does he have now?
I'm not sure. Can you check 13, it out? 13, is it? Can you check it out there? Yeah, because he's only 2 or 3 behind. I think it's 13, but he could definitely have another 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think 13 is the... I think 13 is the most, all right?
Because Cena equaled 13, didn't he?
Yeah, 9 WWE and 4 World Heavyweight Championships.
Dude, he can easily break that record. He could easily, in Randy Orton's next career, I think he could, or in his next like 5 years, you could get another four championships out of him if you put him in the right programs. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would deserve to at least tie it anyway.
It's already tied, isn't it, with Flair and Cena? No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Flair and Cena. Yeah.
I mean, Cena was winning it once every week, so.
That's true.
So what's the next?
We'll move on to the next story, and we're going to stick with the WWE. We're going to change brands, and we're going to go to SmackDown, because on SmackDown, it was announced that Goldberg will be having another match in Saudi Arabia at Super Showdown for the Universal title against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Now, after the really bad match that Goldberg had at the last Saudi Arabia show, do you have any hopes that this match against The Fiend could actually be somewhat entertaining? Well, it might be entertaining for all of about 30 seconds.
And when is that going to be? Before WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Right. The only reason
I think it's March.
The only reason I'm going to talk about this, because otherwise I followed the same CM Punk sentiment. Lick the blood off a Saudi Arabian's cock. I believe in that, because I don't believe in the Saudi Arabian blood money thing. It's actually turned me off WWE quite a bit in a lot of ways, to be honest with you. That they continue this this thing when they know it's just completely wrong. Only reason I'm going to comment on it is because I'm thinking Goldberg wins that match. And he has a WrestleMania.
I have a really bad feeling that they might give him the title, yeah.
Yeah, and he has a main event with somebody at WrestleMania. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the... That's all I really say about the Saudi Arabian thing, because I don't watch those pay-per-views. I've seen highlights of them just because I've had to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not really into them. I don't agree with them. As I said, it's blood money. And
would you rather have Goldberg or The Fiend as the champion heading into Mania?
Goldberg, I'll be honest with you, because I think these stupid Fiend matches are getting ridiculous. Only because it's not because I'm not a Bray Wyatt fan. I'm a super Bray Wyatt fan. I'm a super fan of horror, but they're getting ridiculous with this bloody red light. You know what I mean? I thought Bray Wyatt.
I think they actually decided to get rid of the red light.
Maybe, yeah, because I thought, well, hopefully, because I thought the match that Daniel Bryan was able to get out of The Fiend at Royal Rumble was pretty good in the end. It was a good story told. But it depends who is there rumour of anyone coming back? Or like, if Goldberg were to win, like, who would be facing him? Is there anybody, like, is there any feuds going on there at the moment that are... That are looking
off the
like
top of my head of who's on SmackDown. First guess straight away would be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like Bray Wyatt and Goldberg and Roman Reigns wins. You know that, or Goldberg wins and Roman.
You could still do The Fiend and Roman.
Yeah, he could be the first one. Yeah, it's just I don't see why Goldberg. I mean, Goldberg's shown how much he cares about wrestling that he'll come back now again for a big Saudi Arabia check. You know what I mean? Again, licking the blood off us. Dead, whatever the hell CM Punk said in that tweet. I just thought that was awesome, by the way. The way he said that to The Miz, I thought that was really good. If that's not a match that happens at some point, I think everyone will be disappointed. But that's called getting owned, actually. So, I think The Miz pretty much got owned on that one. But yeah, I don't know. I think I don't know. Like, I think it definitely a Goldberg win means he's going in against someone like, you know, Reigns. Vince is just going to continuously put Reigns in because he just has this obsession.
Yeah, and just remember as well, they still have the Elimination Chamber pay per view too. So. They'll probably end up having a chamber match to see who'll be number one contender. At least that's the rumours at the moment.
Yeah, because there's also a rumour that The Rock is coming back as well for a Mania match. So I would have thought a Rock, you know, Roman Reigns match would have been pretty good, actually. I still think it would. So that could take Reigns out of the equation. I don't know. But yeah. That's as far as I go with that. But as far as like I'm not really enjoying Bray Wyatt as world champion because I just I don't see it. Like I don't there's too many. I think that's a character that doesn't need any bells and whistles. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think
I think you're right.
I don't think that character needs a title because The Undertaker never needed the title really to be The Undertaker. And I don't think the Demon needs a title to be the Demon.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think they've gotten this Bray Wyatt thing wrong from the very start. Anyway, when he first came out as the Fiend, I think everything really worked well. And this mysterious character that he brings back, sort of like you were saying, like a Finn Balor Demon character.
Yeah.
Larger than life, but putting the belt on him way too soon, you know, making him like no sell everything, kind of just puts him in a corner saying, who can beat this guy? You know, they're making sure that the way they booked it is that no one can beat this guy, but they're going to have someone beat him, whether it be at that show in Saudi Arabia or at WrestleMania. It's just the way they build these matches, and it's, you can sort of see it coming from a mile away.
Do you know what the frustrating thing about it is, though? The guy that built the most iconic character on the planet. We can all blame these Hollywood writers that are coming in. Sure, weren't they all fired anyway? So the guy that got rid of all, you know, these people, and you know, through the media, all you hear is, oh, this guy is getting this wrong, or that guy is getting this wrong. There's one shoulder of blame that it falls on, and that is Vince McMahon himself. At the end of the day, he built the Undertaker character himself and protected the Undertaker character to keep him strong by beating other people, all the while keeping him out of the title picture. But it's just the interest is gone from WWE in building storylines now because all they want to think about now is only. And I know this is what it's all about anyway. I know it's all about making money regardless. You got to make money. It's a business. But at the same time, you've got to keep your customers interested. I listened to a really, really good speech earlier. I'm not going to say who it was from. But a really good speech. And it was saying that any entrepreneur or any successful business, it's all about the customer. And it is true. It is all about the customer. But you got to make the customer a fan of what you're doing. That goes for AEW and NWA and everyone. You got to make them a fan of what you're doing. Because essentially, these fans are customers. And it seems to me now that customers are getting fed up with what they're being thrown at, what's been thrown at them. It's like, I'll give the car rental game, you know. It's like a customer expecting a high-end vehicle and getting a not-so-high-end vehicle, you know, as a substitute. That's one thing. But then it's like the everyday customer that goes in and looks for a Volkswagen Golf and ends up with a Renault Captur and goes, oh, this isn't a Golf. You're like, okay, so let's listen to our customers. So therefore we want to say maybe we should have more Golfs because it seems to be the common consensus is that the customers want the Golf. But we're not providing Golfs. So essentially, if we're not providing Golfs, what are we providing? Poor customer service. Because we're not giving the customers what they're asking for. And that's essentially what's happening with WWE. For the last 15 years, they're not giving the customers what they're asking for. And that's it's a very poor thing, actually. When it's only about making money, that's when it becomes stale. Unfortunately. And that's when the longevity starts to run out then. That's when you gotta hand it to someone new. And I think that's where Vince McMahon comes into this whole equation. You know, the title belt should never be... We all know it's a prop, but it shouldn't be a prop as such. It should still mean something. Because there's got to be a reason that these people want to fight. And the title belt has got to be the reason. So when you've got a demon coming out with a face mask made by Eli Roth or whatever it was, you know, a really cool looking prop, but a ridiculous looking prop, just so that they can sell it online, it shows me that it's all about money. So that's why NWA is the best thing going today, to be honest with you, because it really, really, it's for the fans, you know.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because what we're going to do is we're going to hop on that segue and we're going to go over to our last news story, which is an NWA news story on NWA Power this week.
Okay.
We found out that the Crockett Cup main event has been announced. It will be Nick Aldis versus Marty Scurll for the 10 pounds of gold. And an added stipulation that if Marty doesn't win, he has to pay Aldis $500,000 of his own money.
$500,000.
So what do you... $500,000. $500,000. So just my simple question is to you, Ian, on this. I don't know if you have gotten to see the show yet or not. Who do you think will come out on top?
In this match?
Yeah.
I think they're gonna keep. I think Nick Aldis will have too much. Yeah, I think Nick Aldis will have too much. I think the stipulations are all pointing in the direction that Marty Scurll has to win. But I think that's why there's gonna be a little curveball thrown, and you know what? It's intrigued the fans tenfold, and this is the kind of wrestling that you want. This is the kind of wrestling that WWE was back in the 80s and 90s, you know. But more.
Can I throw a possible finish your way? Two possible finishes your way, and I want you to give me an idea how viable you think this is. Now, this is from these come just from my days of watching so much WWE and how they would book sort of matches of these sort of type of stipulations. Double disqualification, or we get a surprise, a surprise debut from someone, and they cost Marty Scurll the match, where he technically wins it, but by disqualification, which means Nick Aldis keeps the title.
That's is there a stipulation that he has to pin him or has to submit him to win that?
No, it's just that. Whoever, if Marty Scurll doesn't win the belt, he has to pay Aldis $500,000. Or if he doesn't win the match, sorry.
But if he doesn't win the match, okay. I could actually see some credibility to your. To your idea there, to be honest with you, that's how I would book it personally, because that wouldn't be WWE booking. That would be just old school wrestling booking. That would be old NWA booking. I could see some credibility in that, to be honest with you. That's the route I would go if I were the booker. I would find a way to keep both men strong. I could see someone coming back and costing, Aldis the title, or costing Marty the title, should I say, turning on Marty.
Yeah.
Hence Marty winning the match, but not winning the 10 pounds of gold, and have that built up, because I think what that company is doing is something very special at the moment, and I've noticed a nice transition where a lot more people that I was talking to that didn't watch the show when I was kind of going on about it, including yourself, actually, are starting now to watch the show a lot more. Because they've got a nice little couple of months of content there that you can actually go back and watch it from start to finish and see how it's building. And it's very consistent, you know. They're bringing some new characters in constantly. I know I'm going on a tangent on NWA here, and people are going to start thinking Dynamo's doesn't is sponsored by NWA, but who knows? Maybe I have an agenda, who knows? But I'm going to put over NWA here, but let's stick with the point that you made, and not kind of segue too much. I think that's a great idea. I really do, because I didn't think about this one, because it's a match that I'm looking forward to. Obviously, two wrestlers I respect in the ring. I have to stress in the ring. One, not so much outside of it. But I really, really do, I really like both guys' work in the ring. And I think Aldis has to retain that belt to keep the power brand going a little bit more. And I think he's got to, because obviously his agenda now is he's going to be the dirtiest player in the game, hence why, you know, he's got that team beside him. So they're going to find some way to get out of him losing the title. But I think they're going to make Marty strong as well, so that Marty almost takes it, you know. He's got to be pushed to the limit. But being honest with you, it feels like the first main event in a professional wrestling match in a long time that I'm actually looking forward to. You know? Not the first, but I mean the first big fight feel. Does that make sense?
Yes. You know? It's like a prize fighter.
Yeah. As we're approaching the heyday of, you know, the D-Day, should I say, of, you know, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. We've got that big fight coming up next weekend for all you people that are boxing fans as well. February 22nd. I'm going to promote it on this show because, God damn it, that's going to be one of the biggest fights in heavyweight history. The biggest rematch in heavyweight history. What a fight that's going to be. So it has that same kind of vibe for me, you know what I mean? That, you know, even though this pay-per-view isn't in Madison Square Garden or in, you know, the super...
Well, we actually don't know where it is yet.
We don't, but even though it's not in the super quadruple dome, you know, it doesn't need to be. They've created an atmosphere that this fight is important. And all by simple booking and simple psychology. Imagine that.
Going back to basics works. Who would have thought it, hey?
Yeah, you know. I know there's one lad that gets ridiculed on Twitter and Facebook that's been saying that for years. But there you go. So that's what I think about that.
There you go. No, that's great, and I think it's a great way to wrap it up. You know, we've talked about some really good news stories today, some very diverse news stories, some good, some bad. Like I said, we'll be able to talk more about possibly the NWA World Title match next week. Yes. But we have a clearer idea of what the venue. And the date is going to be of the Crockett Cup, because we still haven't. We've been told that it's going to be an announcement this coming Tuesday. So we'll find out more about that. Obviously, we'll find out more about this Becky and Shayna Baszler angle, which, you know, has so much room to grow. We'll see if Edge comes back this week. This is the good time of the year now. This is WrestleMania season. It's the good time of the year. If you're not a WWE fan much anymore, like myself, you still look forward to WrestleMania season, because they do get their ducks in a row, and they do get their shit sorted for this time of the year at least.
Yeah, I agree. And a new concession, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, as I said earlier in the show, myself and Dara will not be, there won't be gloves off anymore. We're not going to be spending time editing, watching everything that we say. We're not going to go out of our way to say offensive things, obviously, to people, because that's not our MO. That's not what Got Dynamos does to the dance, so to speak. But we're not
going to... Maybe just to each other.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But we're not going to be watching. I'm certainly, I can speak for myself, I'm not going to be watching every single thing that I say. You know, this, you want real opinions. This is the podcast of real opinion. This is from someone who's tried his hand in it before and never to return. And all I'll say to that is, for me and for Dara, that is today Dynamo and Dara over and out.